Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Going live on TikTok and live here on LinkedIn too. And if you, again, this could be a 5-minute conversation, or I'm willing to kind of talk, you know, up to kind of a half hour on some of the things that I've seen, some of the things that we're doing to kind of, I guess, retool our contact center, retool our BPO for kind of this oncoming surge of AI. But I think it transcends into, you know, a lot of the internal contact centers as well. But, you know, there is a big debate, right, among my peers of how do we stay relevant? How do we really not go out of business? How can we keep revenues at a certain level, you know, with the model that's changing, right? So the kind of just having an agent in a seat answering calls, answering questions, that model's really going away. And I think we kind of all see that. And there's a ton of fear about it. I had a chance about 3 weeks ago to go to the Google campus in Boulder. And it was a kind of a little, I don't want to say a conference, but kind of a one-day seminar put on by Chrome OS, outsource consultants, and also NICE. And it was 32 BPOs. And, you know, I got to kind of give a talk at the end on how we're retooling and changing our BPO in this world. And so many of the, especially the larger contact centers, are really worried, right? Because they see this as just a total knock off the top line revenue. And they're not sure how to adjust for that and what things to do. So if you are a BPO here at all, I want to kind of talk you through some of the things, how I see this playing out, some of the things that we are making from a change standpoint, how we're retooling our BPO, and how we're trying to deal with customers now from an AI roadmap and some of those types of things. So again, if you guys have on TikTok, if you guys have any questions on LinkedIn, again, this is an AMA. I'm more than happy to speak to you guys for basically a podcast for 30 minutes. I would love if you guys, again, any questions that you have, please ask. If there's anything you want to add or just talk about or just get off your chest, or if you have any really good ways that you guys are doing some changes and some things too, I'd love to hear. But let me just start with a couple, and I want to get into meat and potatoes. I don't want to give you any theory stuff. Like, I want to tell you like actual things that we're doing and actual things that I think you need to at least start to think about from the BPO, the contact center outsourcing standpoint. So, you know, the first thing is, and some of you guys have heard me talk about this, so please just bear with me for 30 seconds as I kind of talk this through. When we would go purchase any type of technology for our contact center, for our clients in the BPO space, it had to answer kind of two questions for us. Is there going to be massive value for our client or our customer? And is there kind of return on that investment? Is there an added revenue source for Expedia? And we would silo our technology, right? So any kind of tool that we would want to go out and buy, it had to answer yes to both of those questions. And now I think that model is totally outdated and totally wrong. And the reason is there's so many tools out there that we are scared. We, meaning the BPO industry, are nervous about. You know, one of them that I still struggle with is Agent Assist, right? Let's use that as an example. For me, Agent Assist, I'm a, you know, knock off. And again, I'm a medium sized to small, teeny tiny BPO. I'm not a 10,000 seat center. You know, we're about 600-700 seats. So our average client is in that 30 to say 60 seat range. Now, if you are a 10,000 seat internal contact center, I think Agent Assist is probably the biggest no-brainer of no-brainers. Because if you're knocking 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds off your average handle time, the amount of savings that you're getting there is amazing. For me, if I knock 5 seconds off of a call on a 20-seat program and have to maybe charge clients more or shrink my revenues from how much that is going to cost me, it doesn't make sense. But let me just tell you this. It's at least the last 3 or 4 RFPs that we have had to us. Agent Assist is not... It's not a requirement, but it's as close to a requirement as possible, right? Basically, they're saying if you don't have this tool, you're not going to get this program, right? So we have now looked at technology. Instead of siloing it into each tool, we're looking at it over throughout all of the suite of tools that we're offering our customers. And we're saying from a technology standpoint, yes, you know, analytics, maybe that makes us more money. That's a great tool for everybody because it does those. But Agent Assist, it's something that is, one, going to get us more business now, right? And it's something that we're trying to kind of even out the technology so it almost is like a net zero. So I think you have to almost look at technology now overall, your organization, not just looking at it at specific tools. And I think that's a huge shift in kind of how we're buying technology. But I think the other main shift is, and I kind of love this. This is kind of our new mantra is, we have become a contact center outsourcer that does technology really, really well, to now a CX technology partner that specializes in the contact center. So that might not sound like a huge shift, but it's a monstrous shift. And I think if you can start to think of yourself less as about a place that we fill seats that answer calls, and more as a technology partner that also does that, but as a technology partner first, then this doesn't get as scary. And for a lot of us, this thing is scary, right? So shifting your mindset to say, okay, listen, we have to be a technology partner for our clients. We have to have the tools that maybe they don't know about or that they don't have. We have to be able to have a roadmap from an AI standpoint. For new customers, you have to be comfortable with saying, hey, I know you want 75 seats right now or you want 50 seats, but our plan for our roadmap is to get you down to, you know, 42 seats or 15 seats in the next year and a half. And those are the BPOs that are using technology in that way that are going to win more business, that are going to be the preferred partner of clients. So again, that's my first kind of, I guess, swath into this. But let me give you some specific tools, I think, to maybe start to think about from a technology standpoint, that you can start to think differently on how to raise revenues for you so that you're not just kind of stuck in that, well, what do we do, Tom? And you know, I think let's start with this as just a very basic start. Like, what are some of the tools that I'm utilizing now that are maybe a little bit different from a technology standpoint that are adding value to customers and we can still raise revenue on? Number one is analytics. If you haven't really dug deep into analytics, it for us is the number one way that we're getting new business. It is the tool that I think wows the most amount of people. So becoming an expert, not just saying, hey, we have the tool, becoming an expert. I heard a phrase today that, you know, analytics can change the thought process from the contact center to the boardroom. And I really like that, right? For us to now, for have the contact center, not just be, again, answering calls, but to be giving marketing data, to be giving sales data, to be giving actionable data for the business to grow from analytics. And that's things that people will pay for. And let me say this too. Everybody is stuck, or most of us are stuck, on a per hour billing. And I'm still doing per hour. But what I have found is all of these tools that I'm about to talk about, normally when we didn't have as many of them, we were adding to our hourly rate. So let's just, you know, hypothetically say, hey, we'd be at, you know, $29 for this. And if you wanted analytics, it was an extra 50 cents an hour. And if you wanted Agent Assist, it's 75 cents an hour, things like that. And the problem is that customers the bottom line is still the bottom line with the cost. And it's still very difficult for them because everything is brand new for them to shift that thought process into the actual tools or the value that they're getting. So I might be going and adding a ton of value to a client, but I'm charging $34, where there's a regular a BPO that is just kind of doing omni-channel, and maybe they have one tool and they're at 28 or 29, and that difference in price, even though the value might be there, was losing us business. So we have gone to a model where most of these tools were paying charging just a base rate per month, kind of like a SaaS product, right? So instead of adding to your hourly rate, we keep our hourly rate at a regular number, and then say, okay, if you want analytics, and again, I'm just throwing out numbers here. It's $1,500 a month. That includes all that. And if you do that and you keep your base rate, I think people understand that a little bit more. And we have found that it's been able to get us, deeper into the sales funnel. And clients, it's easier to say, hey, no, I don't want that. Hey, I want this. Hey, add that on. Hey, our budget can afford that. When, it's still our hourly rate is there, and it probably equals out whether you did it at a $29 or a $33 an hour, depending on the tools that they want. So from a marketing standpoint, I think that's a really important kind of change. The other thing, and again, before I keep forgetting, and I'll get into some of these other tools, but I think the other thing that's really important before I get into them is we've been kind of rebranding the tools that we have, right? Because some of the tools, and we use NICE as most of you guys know, there are now AI infused, right? So they're a much better tool today than they were a year ago, 2 years ago. The example that I love to give is whether you're using NICE, Genesys, Five9, any CCaaS platform, you all have a tool, and NICE calls it workforce intelligence, right? And basically that's guaranteeing a service level. So let's say we have an inbound sales skill, and we have a customer support skill, and we have a shipping problem skill, Of course, everybody wants their sales skill, right, to be at that 90-10 SLA. So using AI, and that's the tool that we use, and we're charging for it now, we can basically guarantee service levels, because as calls come into the IVR, it's doing a predicted wait time, seeing what that SLA will be if these calls hit, moving agents in and out of skills without a human being. And so, again, that's a tool that we've always had. We utilized it. But now it's gotten so good that we're billing for it. And it's not a ton of money, but it's just another added revenue source for us that adds, I think, a ton of value for a customer that is now AI infused. So look at your kind of the set that you're utilizing now. And again, you guys know it. If you have any kind of CCaaS partner, they're charging you for everything, right? There's a setup fee. There is a a fee for a monthly. There is a fee to possibly, every 3 months, you're paying a little bit extra to get the upgrade. So there's a lot that goes to it. And I'm not saying you got to take it to that level, but I think we need to change the process and think about all the tools that we have and looking at some of that stuff to charge a little bit more, but you're also adding a ton more value. We know that virtual agents, let's just talk about them. Everyone needs a generative AI plan. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a tool that is on your suite right now, but whether you're using a partner, an Omelia, an Amelia, a Poly AI, whether your CCaaS platform has it, you have to be able to have something when a customer says, what is your plan if we want to go and take 15% and test 15% of our call volume on some type of AI model? You have to have that plan, and you have to have that plan now. So start thinking that through from either a partnership standpoint or where you can move to have something in your back pocket that you can at least talk through and feel comfortable that you can access that very quickly. The other thing too is I'm planning for a 25 to 30% droppage or shrinkage in my agent volume in the next 2 years, right? So If you start to think about that now, it doesn't get as scary. If you start to think about how do we backfill with some of these other tools to make sure that, again, I'm not that afraid of this generative AI thing. right? Again, think about it. Like, we all have shrinkage problems and we all have call-offs and we all – I understand that it's not as expensive and the revenue is not there, but all of these agents, they're going to be there every single day, right? They are – they're never going to call off. They don't need to take a break. So from that standpoint – you know, there's a good piece to this as well. You know, when you're talking about that first touch point, generative AI, that chatbot that can, or that voice bot that can then, you know, take some of that away. So a lot of this is a mental mindset of understanding, hey, we need to be more CX partners for our customers. Number two, we need to understand that we're probably going to lose headcount. And number three is again, answering the question that we're getting into now is what tools and what AI pieces and what technology can we utilize then to either backfill or become the technology partner for these clients? Because guys, nobody knows what the hell they're doing. I mean, a lot of us don't know what the hell we're doing, let alone the customers that we have. They're looking for that one person, that one group that can say, hey, listen, we'll take your 100-seat headcount. We're going to lower it to 65. Here's the roadmap that we're going to do from a generative AI standpoint. On the other side, we have a full plan to lower your average handle time from 6 minutes and 22 seconds to 4 minutes and 4 seconds because we're going to utilize this tool, that tool, that tool. We can guarantee your service level because now we have an AI-infused workforce intelligence platform that can move that as well. So when you start to talk more technology, I believe, and then less about, and we have really good agents that can answer calls and white glove service. Right? Your white glove service, everybody's saying it. That doesn't mean anything. You know, having the really good agents is always going to be really important. But how are you differentiating in 2023? And you're differentiating with the technology that you're going to offer. Now, let me talk about this too, is every single major CCaaS partner is basically your big brother behind us. Like for me, NICE is my big brother. I don't have to have all the tools, but I know I can go basically white label their tools and say, hey, these are the things that I offer because I do offer them and I can get it in a heartbeat. It might not be on my business unit at this second, but you need to think that through too. Don't go cheap on your CCaaS or on whatever technology partner that you're going to utilize. You're going to need to have some weird things and customers are going to start from a BPO standpoint. When they go pitch and they're talking to customer or BPOs like me, they're talking to other BPOs that have different types of different technology sets, right? Just to be able to say, hey, we answer calls and we're really good and we have white glove service and, you know, we can be 24/7. Like that stuff's not going to be there. So again, you don't have to purchase all the technology. You need access to the technology. And I think that's a huge kind of shift as well. All right. So let me get back to this. So we talked about analytics. For us, we chop analytics into different categories, right? So, you know, we can do just the kind of our baseline, analytic platform that, hey, you get for this and we're going to give you agent sentiment, your customer sentiment. We're going to give you trending keywords and phrases. If you want us to do some deep dive on a project for analytics and you want to see, hey, Tom, what is the service level that my customers will actually really adhere to before they start getting ticked off? Is it an 80-30, right? We can do some deep dive into analytics and we can charge a project to say, hey, let's do a test to find out how long customers will wait in queue before they get ticked off. And we can see it, you know, the sentiment starts to drop at 2 minutes and 24 seconds. So you need I don't know the math of that, but a 2 minutes, like whatever, 154-30. Right, instead of an 80-30 for your SLA. That might save them money over the long term. You added just a ton of value with them, and you're also getting, you know, a nice chunk from a project from a different way that you use analytics. You know, one of the other things is we're offering, we call it gamification or verification of analytics for our clients. So if they want to see individual agents and their sentiment scores by day, by hour, that's another tool or another offering that we're giving them, right? So you have to pay a little bit more for that. It's not a ton, but with that, you get a dashboard that looks at every single agent and we can basically guarantee that we're using proper word, the proper word choice, that we're talking to your customers in the right way. And you now have a dashboard to feel comfortable about that as well. So again, there's different, so many different things that you can use, especially that tool for, you know, not even getting into the customer journey mapping and all that that you can use analytics for, right? To charge, you know, for a larger project to utilize that to say, hey, you know, here's the full kind of customer journey that we've kind of thrown through on the more advanced analytic platforms. That's the stuff that kind of really gets me going and I think is exciting because it's a new way and customers aren't used to being kind of told that they can get this information, especially, you know, not huge customers that I deal with, right? If you're probably dealing with a Walmart, yeah, they have their own, you know, huge, huge analytics staff that's going through all that stuff. But again, for the mid-tier BPO, even that under, I would say 5,000 CPPO and the customers that you're going after, those are value adds that before I think we took for granted, or maybe we just had on our platform that, you know, from a project standpoint, that can start to be, you know, another value add that you can offer. You know, I think that the other main thing that we have found is when you start to roadmap this and you need to, you know, start to be a technology kind of roadmap for your customer to say, okay, hey, listen, you know, we're going to start just really basic. We're not even going to do any integrations. We're just going to start taking your calls. I know it's you want us to get up quickly. And then the first piece that I think of this pie too is we call it integrate and charge. So integrations are huge. You have to be a really good organization and that is very technically savvy to at least be able to integrate and do CTI integrations with any type of data set, whether that is Salesforce, Zoho, Zendesk, whether that is a third party's proprietary CRM. Because once you have a full integration, you know, that roadmap thing opens up, right? There's so many really cool things. So let's just say, okay, hey, you know, we're going to do a integration into your Salesforce CRM. We do this full integration. It's great. Now we can, you know, we can kind of offer that basic kind of routing. So we can just say, hey, we can look at the most available agent, do those kind of things. We can look at build that basic IVR out. We're doing skills-based routing and all that kind of basic, normal kind of baby stuff. But the next thing is we can have an advanced tier of routing. And this is why integrations become so cool because there's so many things that you can do for your client. And again, I'm preaching to the choir here, I think, on most of this stuff. But how we now can kind of bill for that or charge for that as well, right? So, you know, use the integrations to route calls, right? To be like, hey, listen, we can have a VIP, kind of a VIP routing area where, you know, if you have certain customers that based on their data set are very important. If you have customers that called in yesterday, maybe we want to move them to the front of the line because they probably didn't have a good first call resolution experience. We can match customers with the same caller that they talked to yesterday. We can do all of these really, really cool things. You know, again, reducing those wait times for somebody who we know probably is a TikTok influencer because we have that in our CRM and they know that if they wait over a certain period of time, they're going to go and they're going to blast us on social media. Those are some things that we can protect people with. And again, in looking at that integration standpoints, which is something that I think, again, from a professional services thing is really important. Start looking at some things that you guys can do on your own from a standpoint of using, you know, the AI tools that are there. You know, we developed very easily, and guys, I wrote the blueprint for it, and if anybody wants it, let me know, on how to use ChatGPT to fully score your QA calls, right? We did a bunch of R&D on different prompts. We're building a SaaS product out on that now, but you can do that. We're doing that for our clients and our customers right now is auto scoring a vast majority of their calls. We're not doing 100% of them, but it takes now about 30 seconds to do one. And that's an unbelievable value add that we can now give to customers that is extremely easy. That guys, you don't need any API connectivity. You don't need any programmers. You can use the desktop ChatGPT if you want, right? And there's a way that I gave, there's a podcast that I did about 3 podcasts ago on the 10 prompts that you need, totally gave you the prompts to even be able to do that again for more kind of a value add. The last thing that I want to kind of, I guess, get on here too is we have found a huge revenue source and looking at different customer bases. So, you know, we all know that there's, you know, the regular voice customer. We all know that there's our digital, you know, our chat, email, you know, those type of customers. We know that there's customers that are on social media, on Facebook. But, you know, what about kind of these emerging technologies like Discord? You know, we have a full integration into Discord where we're doing kind of community management and full analytics on our CCaaS platform on, you know, large Discord communities. Maybe they have 300,000, 400,000 different people or members in there. And to be able to not only moderate, which is kind of like doing customer support, but also to be able to give them full analytics. Again, what is the sentiment of the Discord? Who are the jerks in your Discord? Who are the influencers? Building that CRM out for different and newer customer bases, whether that is, you know, the younger generation that is, you know, gaming on Roblox and Fortnite and doing that, to the NFT space, to, you know, Budweiser and Starbucks and Adidas and Puma. You know, they're all moving and all have really, really large Discords. I think that's something else to start to think about too, is where can we move our thought process when it comes to different customer bases. But the bottom line of this, and again, this is kind of a ramble, but it's just to start to think about how you're going to use technology, how you're going to have probably a less of a headcount of an agent, but a more of a headcount of an IT staff. And that doesn't mean you got to go hog wild, but you know, start to think about how can we make sure that we're fully on our IT setups or on our outsourcing setups, that we're going to be able to do a full integration into every single CRM. Most of you guys are doing that now. But if you can't do that, that's an absolute necessity. Looking at some of those very basic tools, analytics should be on your platform no matter what. Agent Assist is something that you're not going to be able to fight. And then getting into things like auto summarization, right? Especially if you're a larger contact center, if there's a huge amount of after call work, those are all things that you can charge a little bit more for, but still give your customers the value, because that's stuff that they would have to pay for. And again, this is the early days, but if you can become an expert in this stuff, I mean, that's all that we're really focused on, is trying to become an expert in this, on these type of tools. Because again, most customers have no idea about them. They're doing their own business. They're making their widget. They're trying to sell their SaaS product, and they're not focused totally on the CX experience and what is out there. So if you can be the voice to help them, you not only be able to answer calls, but then be that technology partner for them moving forward. I think that's where the BPO changes from just a, you know, a butt in a seat answering calls, to becoming that, you know, having that high-end, high-touch agent that is kind of surrounded by technology and in a technology space where we can do some really cool things for customers that probably could never do that or wouldn't get the green light or don't have the technology or don't have the skill set internally to really help with that. So again, that's the big shift that I see. That's how we're kind of, I guess, moving our BPO. In trying to kind of see where this new space, and again, we're trying to fight through what tools are real, what tools are not. We've had, you know, multiple conversations on how this is very vendor-led right now. I think as more people start to onboard some of these technologies, more people are going to start to ask for tools. And I think that's when things really start to ramp up, instead of just, you know, having a vendor, hey, we have Agent Assist, take it. Right. To be able to ask, well, you know what, do you have this tool that I can use for my QA? You know, those type of questions that start to kind of come up. I think that's when we start to see a little bit of a shift here as well for the BPO space, and having these partners kind of give us the tools that we think can add a ton of value that are maybe a little bit more difficult for an internal contact center to implement, but things that can add a lot of value as well. So having said that, I literally just rambled on for a half hour, like I said. Do you guys have any questions, any comments? I'd love to hear anything that you think. If you think I'm crazy, if there's anything that you would like to add, you know, please let me know. But that's kind of what I had for today. And I think it's a really important topic. It's evolving. It is not, this is not like, hey, this is what you need to do. This is kind of at, you know, on 11/8/2023, where we're starting to see things. You know, things are changing so rapidly. Even you saw the ChatGPT 4 Turbo come out yesterday, that, you know, we were doing with our auto QA product, it would take us, it took us on average 52 seconds to click on our platform, the analyze button, which would take a call recording, go get the full transcript, and then pick up the prompt from our platform, take it to ChatGPT, come back, give us the output. So that was on average 52 seconds we were finding. As of yesterday with Turbo, with our first test, it was 18 seconds. So it's supposed to be less expensive than ChatGPT-4. It's supposed to be better. And it's also, obviously, it is Turbo. It is way, way, way faster. So I think that's had a huge impact. And then I don't know if you saw, which kind of shook me up a little bit today, and I kind of poo-pooed it at first, but and let me see, who was that? It was John Walter. If you don't follow him, check out his post today. And basically, he took the new voice capabilities of ChatGPT. He did a prompt or gave the ChatGPT its instructions, right? And instructions were, hey, basically, make sure you ask me questions to get to the best answer for this. And he went out on the internet and basically just that's what ChatGPT does now. And basically asked a question to ChatGPT. Hey, my Tesla, and I know it's not a trunk because it's in the front. It's, what do they call them? Like a frunk, like one of those, won't close the whole way. Can you help me with that? And the voice went out, went to all of the resources that were on the internet, because now it's up to 2023, ChatGPT's kind of end date. And came back and they had a conversation back and forth as questions were being asked to fix that problem. So from that standpoint, you know, that's basically, I don't want to say the end of Google, but that's got to be scary for a Google, because that's voice search. And it's basically an agent that's kind of looking into a KMS, and it's totally free, right? Because you're not actually talking to the company. ChatGPT is just going out on the internet. So that's a whole nother discussion for how do we do KMS and how do we do knowledge management and how do we make sure that we have that there's access to things out there, which again, this thing is evolving so quickly, so fast. It's a lot of fun, but it can be a little bit scary if you don't have a tendency to have an organization that has a speed to do things differently. If there's a lot of layers to things, I think it you can get caught behind. That's why it's kind of cool, I think, to be not that large of a BPO that I can just say, hey guys, we're going to go do this today, and make those kind of decisions. So that's what I got, guys. I don't know if that was helpful. I hope that is. If you have any other questions for me, you know, hit me up here, you know, DM me, and I'm more than happy to try to help you get through some of that. I have a kind of a deck on what I just talked about too, that kind of goes a little bit deeper into some of the things that I discussed. Again, this was a little bit more high level. I mean, I could spend an hour just talking about analytics and some of the tools and some of the ways that we have siloed that from almost a product standpoint. But I think, again, when a CCaaS partner or one of your, you know, the person that the company that you're using, when they give you a tool, the companies that I think, again, are going to be successful aren't going to use the tool for that. They're going to think, how else can I use this tool? That's you got to almost squeeze the life out of every single tool. And, you know, being BPOs to try to change the thought process of how can we utilize that? How can that add value? How can we maybe get three or four different products out of it that can add value to a specific or different customer? But again, I don't think you can fight this stuff, guys. The companies that fight it are going to be in a really rough spot. But I don't think you have to use a huge, you know, multi-million-dollar investment that no one has either. It's just understanding, starting to think through, what is the roadmap for this? How do I make sure that I have the tools or can have access to the tools that my customers are going to need? How do I change my marketing to kind of white label those tools? Because that's what everybody's doing. And then how do I make my customers that I have now, from a road mapping standpoint, be able to kind of trust that my technology is where it's at? Because guys, if you don't have a roadmap for your customers, talking about whether it's first touch point AI to some type of agent assist to some type of AI functionality, then they're going to go talk to somebody else and they're going to get those answers. So I think that's, you know, that's the only thing. Just you got to have the plan out. You might not have the actual tool, have access to the tool, but start develop that plan for 2024 and make sure that, you know, you're marketing and you're thinking those things through from that standpoint. Because again, if you think you're just going to answer calls from an omni-channel standpoint and omni-channel and white glove services, your differentiators, you're going to be in a big trouble. So hopefully that's a little bit of a wake up. But again, thank you guys. If there's no more questions, I'll let you go here. Hit me up on LinkedIn. If you didn't want to ask a question here, DM me and we can have a conversation as well. But hopefully that added some value to you guys. I appreciate all of you guys for coming. And again, let me know if I can help you in any way in the future. Yeah.
Lunch is here.
All right, thanks. Who are you on? I did a... No one.
Podcast?
I did a voice or an audio event.
You know, I was thinking to try to test that thing rather than going through the mail and stuff like that. That, what do they call it? The square.
Yeah.
Is to send it to, you know, a whole bunch of people that you've got their email.